Watch a patch. Night gathers, and now our podcast begins. It shall not end until we're done talking. We are
the princes that were promised.
All right. Hello. Hello, hello. Welcome to the princes that were promised, the wardens of Long Island, with our instant, well, not exactly our instant, but our real quick reaction to season 7, episode 2, Stormborn. Does the title of the episode make more sense now that we've seen it?
Oh, definitely. I was actually just thinking about that. So I was thinking about the last scene, like the double meaning of Stormborn. Yes, it was Daenerys. Again, Stormborn. She was born in storm. She was not born in the towers and the Red Mountains of Dorne. But the last 10 minutes.
Oof.
Definitely a Stormborn connection right there.
It's not quite an episode 9 battle, but it's up there.
No, it was good.
It was really good.
Actually, I still would have liked the episode a whole lot if you didn't have that. You didn't even need that. Like, if they would have, like, had it next week, I'd have been fine with it.
But it's so awesome that they put it in this week. The pacing of this episode was...
Dude, I was writing, like lightning speed. I'm writing all this stuff down. I mean, I don't even have... I can't remember how much stuff I was actually even, like, watching.
I can't remember the scene by scene, like, from the get-go. First off, Stormborn, another meaning is it was a storm at Dragonstone at the beginning of tonight's episode as she plots her invasion of Westeros. The first scene was Daenerys on a stormy night at Dragonstone with Tyrion, with Varys, and with Grey Worm. Daenerys gives Varys the third degree, man. What did you think about that?
I actually like that a lot.
Yeah.
Because there are reasons why the show does there. And it's the reason why I can't stand Daenerys. And the big difference between Daenerys and Jon Snow is Daenerys is so selfish, which is a complete contrast to Jon Snow.
You thought she was selfish in tonight's episode?
Well, yeah, the way she like thinks about herself, that like entitlement.
Okay.
It's just everything she does, even in the little shot with Melisandre, they have that, well, you know, Valyria, the Valyria means prince or princess, and, you know,
yeah.
Everything is always about her. Everything needs to be about her.
Like, immediately, she thought that Melisandre meant she was the prince or princess that was promised.
Right. Right. Okay. And Melisandre didn't say yes or no, because I think Melisandre knows that she better not say, well, I don't think you are, because
right.
She knows right away that she says that, she's not going to have any belief in her.
No, and then she's out of options.
Yeah, that's just not how Danny is. If you come to Danny and say, Danny, listen, I don't think you're the princess that was promised. It's someone else. She's going to be like, send this one to my dragon. Who needs this one?
Or she lets her go, and then she has to go fucking knocking on Cersei's door, saying that she thinks she's the princess that was promised. Melisandre never implied to Jon that he was the prince that was promised, correct?
Not to himself, no, but she implied it to Davos.
Okay.
She said that Stannis wasn't the prince that was promised, but someone has to be.
But she didn't say Jon.
And then she said it again. She said it again some of the time. She said it, not to Jon, but she said it, that Jon is the prince that was promised. I will do whatever he asks. He is the prince that was promised.
And this is all post-Stannis' death?
Yes.
So that had to hurt her extra to be sent away by Jon.
Yeah. Notice how she comes to Dragonstone. She's not bitter. You know, she's like, you know, you have a role to play, as does another. That's obviously me, and it's Jon. I mean, I'm sure there's someone right now talking about how, like, oh, she definitely means this one. No, she means Jon.
There's no question.
And then she said it again, and the king of the north, you know, Jon Snow. And then, of course, Danny has said, well, if he is a king, he'll have to come up here and bend the knee.
That's what she says in The Raven.
Yeah, God, if he bends the knee, I'll throw up and puke.
I mean, I don't want him to bend the knee either, bro, but I feel like... For the good of the North, for the good of the realm, Jon Snow's going to do what he's got to do. You know, I don't think it's a pride thing with Jon Snow.
I don't like it. He's not been a need to her.
Well, a couple things going on in the North that are kind of questionable. I like the way that Varys, you know, got himself out of that mess.
Right. I just wanted to go backtrack a little bit on that. I did want to talk about two things.
Okay.
And one was the Varys thing. I did like how Daenerys was questioning him. Like,
yeah.
You know, you were for, you know, Robert. Was it you who tried to send the Ravens out to kill me? Or who was out there to kill me? I like the fact that she was questioning him.
Yeah.
And had, you know, had to make him swear an oath to her. Like,
swear an oath that if you ever feel that I'm not living up to being a queen for the people.
I think it's going to be a setup that there's going to be a time where she doesn't be me for the people. Almost, it seems that way. I'm always about the double meanings.
She also said in that scene that she doesn't want to be a queen of ashes. She doesn't want to hurt the common people. I don't know. You know, you get the vibe at the end of season six that her character was going to take on a darker nature, a more ruthless Aegon the Conqueror-like personality. But it's a half measure for her. She's a little bit more aggressive, but she's also really worried about the common people. And that's always been her thing throughout the series, is slaves, the little people, and she's been a champion for their cause.
It's like a setup that they've done for like six, seven seasons now. I'm telling you, that was really a setup.
You think she's going to be responsible for the deaths of a lot of the common people?
Maybe not purposely, but definitely accidentally, yes, with the dragons.
No, there's no way, bro. War is war.
Was Tyrion in this scene also, by the way. Very important was Tyrion.
Quite a few times. And he tried to redirect her when she was going and giving Varys the third degree, but it didn't work so good. But he did try and stick up for Varys. And then when Melisandre tells her about Jon Snow, immediately cuts to Tyrion and he's like, Ned Stark's bastard, Jon Snow?
He says to, like, you know, Lannister has killed Ned. They killed his father. They planned to, and they killed his brother. You know, he'll be an ally in the sense that he wants to kill the Lannisters also, and that he trusts them.
But he doesn't really want to kill the Lannisters. That's not what Jon Snow is all about.
No, but the way Tyrion's looking at it, like, you know, you press him on the outside, like, no, that he killed his father, they killed his brother. You want revenge. That's how Tyrion's looking at it.
Right.
He'll definitely, or they didn't want to kill, he'll definitely, he would take the side of someone against the Lannisters, but at the same time, as the next scene, we're going to Winterfell real quick, the Northern Army's like, don't you forget what the Mad King did to your grandfather.
Was that the next scene? Because they get the Raven in the next scene, and Sansa's like, don't go, it's a trap. He's like, I wouldn't go. Is that, it goes into the same scene? Same scene?
Yeah, it goes in the same scene.
Okay.
It goes in the same, yeah, I mark everything down, like,
okay,
like WF Winterfell, then after that's, you know, King's Landing, Citadel. Right. I write down and I jot down what the locales.
Good job by you, bro. So with the Raven that Jon Snow read, and Tyrion signs it, what do you say? All dwarves are bastards in their father's eyes.
That's what when they first talked.
We've always known that relationship would come into play at a later date.
Right. Definitely. And, I mean, when I read that, first read the books, I'm like, these guys are definitely meeting up at another time.
Yeah. They call each other friend.
The human side of things, which is, again, I'm going to go off on my little, you know, fire whip thing. The human side of things tells me that Jon is not going to be fire whip because of all this emotional stuff he has to do.
Oh, dude, I don't even think that needs to be defended. I can't buy into that. There's story left to tell now. You're not pulling a red wedding. It's too late to pull a red wedding, at least with any of the major characters. Although, I came up with a theory this week. I'm going to wait till the end to share it with you. I'm pretty confident in this theory, though. I'll get to it at the end because it fits in with the Euron stuff in that last scene.
Okay.
All right, so Jon gets the letter. He tells Sansa and Davos that he wouldn't go.
They would go.
He tells them that they would go? I thought he told them he wouldn't, and then when they get the... And then he decides to go when he gets the letter from Sam about the Dragonglass.
I might have missed that by running the nose, but he's saying to the crowd that he's going to go.
Yeah.
That's actually later, too. Yeah, I guess I'm getting confused too here now.
That's the thing about this episode and last episode. Last episode, you had a scene with everybody. The only person with two scenes was really Arya. Because even Cersei and Jaime, their scenes were back to back. In this episode, you had scenes, and then I think everybody had a second scene. I'm pretty sure.
First Winterfell scene, Davos, that says they need, he's giving advice and he's telling them that they need dragons. They need the Dragonglass.
Right.
They need dragons.
Yes.
The dragons would be very powerful against their army. They need allies.
And Sansa's not thinking about that. Sansa's just thinking about consolidating the North. And then what?
Can't wait to get to the second part of the Winterfell stuff. I think you're going to like what I'm going to say. I've got some good stuff. But we'll get that when we get to it.
What comes in?
Landing. Right. Cersei trying to get the people to fear Dany, that she's going to be just like her father, the Mad King.
Fear mongering. Yeah. Is this a good strategy?
Yes.
Even after what she did last season.
Well, because she will sit.
Yeah.
You know, it might be true. I was just doing the video chat with my friends, and they were saying, like, you know, this is like, my friend was like saying, I told you guys last week she was just going to be like Donald Trump. And, you know, like, I just feel like this is Donald Trump. Like, you know, she will do anything. She will say anything.
She's like, Daenerys is crazy. She'll burn you all. And they're like, Daenerys is crazy, will burn us all? Did you burn all your enemies with wildfire?
Very important about this, Qui Bron's coming up with a strategy to stop the dragons, because, right, you know, Randall Tarly's like, well, they got dragons, how are we going to stop them?
Right, a valid question.
Another part in this scene is, once again, they mention, I think Jaime says it here, the wars to come. they always mention the wars to come and good fortune.
Oh, when he's talking to Randall Tarley, I want you to be my general in the wars to come. So he's playing to Randall Tarley. Let's talk about that for a second. He's playing to Randall Tarley's pride.
Right. Like, still on Cersei's side. He's just, you know, he's finally doing what Cersei does. Like, you know, you have to, you know, follow her. I don't like her, but...
Well, Jaime's at least, he seems to be honest with himself about the situation. I mean, he knows that, you know, the reason that they're there is because they fear Cersei and what she'll do if they don't show up. And it's a little bit of loyalty, obviously. They've all sworn oaths, and people don't take oaths. For the most part, these lords don't take oaths lightly. Plus, they're not sure. They don't want Dothraki unsullied. They don't want them on Westeros. And that's the army that Daenerys leads.
Right.
But at the same time, if Daenerys was winning, don't you think that they would jump ship? Like, what loyalty do they have to Cersei other than that Cersei's sitting on the Iron Throne? It's questionable how she even got there.
And Randal Tarly says, did swear an oath to King's Landing, but, you know, my oath is to House Tyrell. And Jaime's got to come in and say, well, you know, your oath, King's Landing should come before House Tyrell. And they're siding with this Vader.
Right.
With dragons, with Rocky Army. And then Jaime's got to be kind of like, he's got to be like Tommen Lannister a little bit.
I was just going to say that.
So when the war's over, use you as my new warden of the South.
Well, that reward, so sure. But also in the way that he played to Randall Tarley. First, he plays to his pride.
Right. He compromises everything there, Jaime.
Well, he plays to his pride of being a great general. And then he plays to his pride of being a Westerosian. And that Daenerys leads an army of foreigners. These are people not of Westeros. And you'll have them on Westeros. You're not going to defend Westeros from foreign invaders. And how does somebody like Randall Tarley argue that? He's known Olenna Tyrell since he was a child. But she has joined with Daenerys, who's leading Unsullied and Dothraki. For the first time ever, these two groups are on Westerosi soil, and she's allied with them. So how can he, as a great lord of the Seven Kingdoms, how can he side against the Seven Kingdoms? Basically, is the way that Jaime phrases it. I think it was a very Tywin-esque argument. Like, don't get me wrong, Tywin will get results through fear and threats if he has to, but if he doesn't have to, especially when he really needs somebody like Randall Tarley, who they really need right now, he doesn't threaten him. He plays to his weakness or his strength, whatever it is. And I thought Jaime was very Tywin-like. You know, he's like, listen, I know you don't like my sister. I understand that. But she's still the queen of Westeros, and you're a great lord of Westeros. Your lord that you've sworn an oath to, warden of the South, she isn't even warden of the South. Mace Tyrell was warden of the South, and he's dead. She doesn't get that title just for being Mace Tyrell's mother. She's aligned with the enemy. No matter how you look at it, no matter what you feel about Olenna Tyrell, she's with the enemy. You know, good job by Jaime tonight. Cersei, I didn't think she was very convincing in her argument, but I don't think that's something that she's good at, is convincing people without threatening them to listen to her. And if she ever was, after what she did to Deceptive Baelor, nobody trusts her. And we got the new Dickon Tarly.
Yeah, taller version.
Yeah, I don't remember what the old one looked like, but every season they got to recast somebody. Got to.
Who's going
to
be next season?
Hopefully we get a new brand.
We've been waiting that for 5 seasons.
I know, dude. Give us a special treat in 2019, because he'll be like 10 feet tall by then, and they simply can't cast him anymore. All right, so what do we get after King's
Citadel.
Landing scene?
Citadel.
The Citadel, and we get Jorah Mormont.
This is touching. This is very touching. My only negative about this stuff and this scene, and even the second scene in the Citadel, is I wish they really would have expanded Sam and Jorah more with the whole Jorah Mormont, the father connection. I really wish they would have engulfed us in with that. And, you know, the real reason why Sam is like, you know, he says, like, you're not going to die tonight. I just really wish they would have gone a little deeper.
Yeah, I think the effort that Sam's making to save his life, I think that shows it on Sam's side. And I think that Jorah Mormont is clever enough to understand that. But you're right. I thought it would be more about Gior and how Gior didn't give up on Sam and essentially saved Sam's life when Sam was giving up. During that trek from the Fist of the First Men back to Craster's Keep, Gior didn't let him give up, didn't let him die. I know what he told him in A Storm of Swords, but did Jorah Mormont say something to Sam before he died in Game of Thrones? I think he said something similar, like, tell Jorah, tell my son, take the black. Well, that's what he said in the book. He said, tell Jorah, tell my son, take the black.
I don't think so.
Is it all one long scene at the Citadel, or do we cut back?
No, it's broken up because they go back to King's Landing.
Okay.
Talk about four Wyverns down there in the dungeons with Cersei.
Right.
Talk about Robert being there, you know, going there sometimes, and then they shoot the arrow again in the head. That's the weapon that they're going to use.
I mean, this isn't like a new weapon for Westeros. In fact, that weapon looked like it's quite old.
Yeah, but, like, all of a sudden, Qyburn's just, like, discovering all these old weapons. Yeah.
They're like, whoa.
No one's been using.
It's like a giant crossbow. But, I mean, if you read your World of Ice and Fire, if you read your Targaryen stories, you know that was a weapon that was used against the dragons. Dance of the Dragons. If you're fighting a dragon, that's your main weapon. And I guess it hasn't been needed because there haven't been dragons. But now there are. So I thought maybe he'd come up with something a little bit better. But I guess that'll do the job, right?
Oh, I can't say. It's a spoiler.
He did say that all the blacksmiths and weapons makers are hard at work on making more of them. Did he say that? I think he said that.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that weapon is called I'm not going to look it up, but I think it's called a scorpion or a trebuchet or something like that. But it's a giant crossbow. You know, if they have a lot of them, then they have a defense against the dragons. I don't know if that'll be enough. But that was a big dragon skull. I don't think that Daenerys' dragons are that big yet, right? Drogon has to be getting there.
Yeah, Drogon's the biggest one.
That's a big-ass skull, man. We also got mention of Robert, how he liked to keep them as trophies, and he used to bring his whores down there. Mm-hmm. What scene comes after that?
The next Dragonstone scene where they're...
Right, they're doing their war council. Mm-hmm. First off, what did you think of Tyrion's strategy?
I thought it was good. I thought the strategy in itself is very good. They didn't want to bring any foreigners to King's Landing because then because they know they have to get the people on their side. You bring a foreign army, they're not going to do that. I think the weak point in all this is without Varys at King's Landing, they have no one in the inside to give them whispers.
Yeah.
They have no idea that Cersei has potential fleet on her side that could be attacking them.
Well.
And that's a big thing.
They probably do now, but we'll get to that. Yeah, they don't have anybody on the inside.
Mm-hmm. If anyone was going to lead, you know, Asha and Illyria want to attack King's Landing. Tyrion says that Grey Worm will lead the attack at Khashoggi Lock.
Do you think that's a little bit selfish on Tyrion's part, or you think that's really the best place that they can attack?
Both. I think kind of both. I think in a way, obviously I don't think he wants to hurt his own people, but I think he does still has a want them to get back at Cersei.
Right.
And this would be a way to do that. Take back the place that he thinks is his.
It's worked against Robb Stark, right? And helped lead to his downfall, so why shouldn't it work against Cersei? And obviously, he's got all this anger against Cersei and wants revenge, but he doesn't seem to be thinking too much about Jaime.
Right.
It's different in A Song of Ice and Fire because he's got that anger at Jaime. But that's not the case in the TV show. Jaime Freedom. When it comes to when they meet again, you know, you have to wonder what it's going to be like. How far is Jaime willing to go to defend his sister, especially when it comes to his brother being on the opposite side? And Jaime doesn't seem to be making mention. I mean, who's he going to talk to, but... There's got to be some inner turmoil for both of them, I would think.
Yes, that's some of the, you know, issues deep down, Jaime, that he's the one who let Tyrion go when Tyrion then killed the father, so...
Right.
I'm sure that has to go to a head sooner or later if they meet.
Yeah. I hope we get who's in charge of Casterly Rock, and I kind of hope it's Sir Davin Lannister. I don't know if you remember him from mostly in Feast for Crows. He's Jaime's cousin. Sir Stafford Lannister was Tywin's cousin, and Davin was his firstborn son, and Cersei named Davin Warden of the West instead of naming Kevin Lannister Warden of the West. And Davin was a pretty cool guy. I really like that character. So I hope we get him. I imagine we'll get somebody if they're taking Casterly Rock.
Yeah, I imagine get somebody that would, I'm pretty sure they probably die right away.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Oh, right there. What are you guys doing? Damn it.
The Unsullied. Oh.
I should have saw that one coming. The next scene was, as I would like to say, the Pillman time of the episode.
Oh, God.
The only thing good about that was obviously Missandei. You know,
right.
God. She's gorgeous.
Yeah, well, I couldn't enjoy it as much because, like I said, I was watching on my laptop next to Frank, so I had to turn it to the side and listen for when it was over. Yeah, I did get a peek.
It's like every episode they have to throw you a pillow time moment.
Yeah, man.
It's just like, I'm going to say this right now, Grey Worm is going to die this season, definitely. That scene in particular, he's dying.
You think so?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, man, that makes me angry just because Ser Barristan died for nothing, then. I don't care that Grey Worm dies. I don't hate Grey Worm, but I just wish that could be Ser Barristan.
Always go back to who would rather die, Grey Worm or Barristan. It's like, Grey Worm lives and they kill up Barristan.
They're trying to write it as though, like, Barristan sees a lot of him. He's a lot like Barristan Selmy, but he's younger. And I get all that. Whatever. You know what? Ser Barristan's dead. He's been dead for a few years now. It sucks, but he was an old guy anyway. I don't expect him to live. But all this character development for Grey Worm and Missandei, I don't feel like that was something that the audience was all chomping at a bit to see. It almost feels like it was just the gratuitous sex scene that they feel they need to put in, or HBO executives are like, well, okay, but where's the sex scene? It feels a little bit like that. And I get it that Game of Thrones is known for that kind of stuff, but you're not going to lose viewers if you don't put that in. Same time, we did get to see Miss Sandy. She's hot, man.
Smoke show.
Yeah, dude. That's what I'm talking about. We didn't even discuss Olena or Ilya or Yara and their impatience. Yara says invade now. Illyria says invade now. Olena's saying that the lords are and the commoners are sheep.
You want to be a sheep or do you want to be...
You're a dragon, you know, so...
You're a dragon.
Right. I
mean, be a dragon, don't be a sheep.
But they all are doing this for vengeance.
Right.
Daenerys is doing it to save Westeros, to be a good ruler. So she has to take what they say with a grain of salt. And it seems like she trusts Olena Tyrell the most, but that's just because Olena's a very old woman and has seen a lot of stuff. Okay, so where do we go from the Grey Worm to Sandy?
Back to the Citadel.
Okay.
When he talks with the Archmaester, talks about the books, blah, blah.
I like that guy. I like Jim Broadbent. I forget his name again, but Maester Europa.
Go back to the first scene, like, you know, the Archmaester, he's like, say goodbyes. There's no way of saving you. Sam's like, well, you know, I was with the Princess Shireen. She was saying, well, that's different. This guy is so far gone. It's ridiculous.
He's like, she was an infant.
Right.
Do you know about the differences of grayscale between infants and grown adults? And Sam's like, well, no, not exactly. And then even when he comes with the cure, he's like, I think I found a way to save Ser Jorah. I read this book. He's like, oh, do you know how that guy died? He got grayscale. Yeah, he's very matter of fact, keeps Sam in check. But at the same time, I feel like he has some respect for Sam and he likes him.
At the same time, he kind of leads him on, though.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're wrong. Subconsciously, he's telling him, try it. No, that's not going to work, but try it.
So you think if he found out what Sam was doing, he'd kind of let it slide?
Yeah, I think. I don't know.
Or at least turn the other way. Like like pretend not to see.
Nothing to see here.
So maybe he is based more on Maester Marwyn than we think.
Now, the funniest part of this episode, he tells Jorah in the scene before, you know, since you were anointed knight, you will get one more day here. Then we have to let you go to Valyria.
It's like if you were a commoner, we'd send you to Valyria right now.
It's so funny. I'm dying. I was dying.
Oh, the letter?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. You know
Khaleesi.
You can...
Khaleesi.
Khaleesi. It's me, Jorah.
Oh, God. So funny.
Yeah.
And then Sam comes in with, you know, he has gloves on. He's got, you know, he's peeling off the grayscale, which I guess had to be very painful, right?
Bro, oh, my God. Listen, man, if Jorah survives this, which I'm sure he will, and he gets back to Daenerys, bro, the shit that he's done to get back to Daenerys' side, the things he's gone through, forget about it. Jorah and Dany, Bear and the Maiden Fair, bro. The Prince and Princess of Dragonstone right there.
Khaleesi.
Khaleesi, it's me. I've come back for you.
She's like, damn it.
Yeah. Oh my God, she's like, you're not dead yet. Ugh. And you know he's going to come back in the nick of time and save her from something.
Yeah.
And she's going to be like, oh man. She's going to be like, who saved me? Oh man.
Damn it. It's him. I can't get rid of him.
Yeah. He's like lost an arm, lost a leg. He's like, Khaleesi. It's like, I saved you. She's like, why can't you just die? Yeah, that looked very, very painful. A little gratuitous also, might I say. A couple gratuitous scenes. Although the one with Jorah, I understood more. All right, where do we go from there?
The end of the crossroads.
The end of the crossroads. And we get P-Blizz's favorite character makes a return.
Dude. Oh my God. Like the whole time Rome is starving and Hot Pie is getting bigger.
Oh, dude, he is huge.
He got huge.
Oh my God, bro.
Oh my God.
Did you watch, by the way, did you watch Stranger Things on Netflix?
I see a couple episodes.
Bro, I think that Hot Pie looks just like one of those kids, like the fat kid, right?
Yeah, he does.
Like, I think like that fat kid might be his little brother or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hot Pie is living life, man. He's enjoying it.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God. He's like, oh, what are you doing, Artie?
And it doesn't seem like a whole lot of people know that Jon Snow is king in the North.
No, this was kind of cool that...
It was really good. I really enjoyed it, yeah.
I was... Fist pumping on this scene. It gave Arya, like, you know, like, oh, where are you going to go? She's like, I'm going to King's Landing. Like, why are you going to King's Landing for? I should go back to Winterfell. Well, the Bolton's at Winterfell. Like, what are you talking about the Bolton's at Winterfell? The Bolton's are dead. Jon Snow came back, defeated them. You just, like, see in her eyes, and start kind of play a little bit like that Stark music. And you think, you know, she's not going to King's Landing now. She's going to Winterfell.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she's there in the fire. And
was that the next scene?
Yeah.
Before we get to that, because I do definitely want to talk about that, but. Yeah, I was pretty sure she was going to Winterfell also, but a little problem here. And it's not nearly as bad as last week, my problems with the Arya stuff, but if she thought the Boltons did hold Winterfell, right? And she's going right now. She's on her way to King's Landing to kill Cersei. Mm-hmm. As difficult as it will be for her to get in there and kill Cersei, why would she not go to Winterfell and do the same thing to Bolton's? And why would she not do that first, being that Winterfell is her home?
Well, because she still has that list. Cersei is the only one who's living that's on that list.
Really?
Not including the Mountain. The Mountain's like, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, Cersei is the only living person on the list.
Wasn't the Hound on the list?
Yeah, but she killed him. She thinks she's dead.
Yeah. And so she's not. In a metaphorical sense, he is dead. Sort of. Kind of. Not really. All right, so I get that. I just feel like Arya's character, like getting the revenge for the Red Wedding, why can't she do that with the Boltons up north? You know, if she heard the Boltons were in control, surely she must have heard that Ramsay had married Sansa. Wouldn't she want to go save her sister?
She probably didn't hear about that. She was already in Essos.
Yeah, because she... All right, so she left after the Red Wedding. She must have heard or figured that the Boltons took Winterfell. And then she comes back. She went and got revenge against the Freys. Yeah, okay. It's fine. Like I said, it's not as big a deal as last week. It kind of struck me funny that she wouldn't make Winterfell her priority. But if she thinks the Boltons hold it and she thinks Sansa's dead or married to Ramsay, maybe that would have been her next move after King's Landing, after taking care of Cersei. I'm okay. I can live with it. It's fine. But then we get the scene of Nymeria. And I didn't know who it was going to be until I saw a wolf. And I'm like, oh, yeah. So was that Nymeria?
Yes, that was Nymeria.
Why does she think it wasn't Nymeria?
Because she ran, because Nymeria didn't go with her.
Okay.
But the reason why Nymeria didn't go with her, because she's still not the same Arya. She's not like the faceless man Arya. She's going to come back, Nymeria. It's when Arya needs her, and all of a sudden she's going to come back.
And get killed. Probably.
Oh, God. Stop, please. I was going crazy. I was clapping my hands and I saw her. Like, it's like, yes, Nymeria. And she's got to come back. I have a very big point in the next segment about the Winterfell stuff. And I'm sure you'll agree.
Oh, yeah. That was the next scene, right?
Yeah, Winterfell stuff is the next scene. So much stuff happening in this scene.
You got anything else with Arya and Nymeria? It was one of the reunions we've been looking forward to.
Yeah, it's kind of like bittersweet. You thought it was going to be a lot more happier. Like, she, you thought that she was going to come up north with Arya, but she ran away with the wolf pack.
Yeah.
But I think that's just going to come into play in some of the points, some of the time.
Yeah, I think so too. It has to.
So now Winterfell, we get the raven from the Citadel. John gets the raven about.
Right. So now knowing that there's dragon glass at Dragonstone, it changes things. He can't send an envoy. He can't just send Davos because Daenerys commanded him to come down. So he's in kind of a tough spot here because he's king in the north and he's got to worry about what's beyond the wall. First off. Second off, he's the only one that's seen what's beyond the wall. Davos hasn't even seen the army of the dead. The Night's Watch has some of them, but nobody that's in that room has seen the Whites. They're all trusting Jon with this. Mm-hmm. It's not that they don't believe him, but it gets to a point where if these guys don't show up, it's like, all right, is Jon Snow crying wolf? They're not thinking that yet, but they definitely don't want Jon to leave, and they definitely don't want him to go to Daenerys.
They don't trust her. Like, Royce is like, let's not forget that, you know, her father killed your grandfather.
Didn't Sansa say that?
That's possible. Sansa tell me anything she can say. Goes in one ear and out the other, pretty much.
Well, when Jon first said that he's going to go down there, he turned and he gave a look to Sansa like, don't you do it. Don't you do it, Sansa. And Sansa kept her mouth shut, but then...
Just so I'm going to make one point.
Go ahead, man.
If you remember that Jon Snow's grandfather killed his other grandfather.
That's true. He doesn't know that yet.
Targaryen cannot be trusted meanwhile. He's always talking to a Targaryen.
Yeah, and they don't know Daenerys. Nobody knows Daenerys. It's... reasonable that they fear her. She's got three dragons. She's got the Unsullied. She's got the Dothraki. She's got the Tyrells. She's got the Martells. She has the numbers right now.
And Jon sees that. Jon sees that he's got to talk to her.
Right.
To see if they can align because they need the allies. They need more people. There's not enough of them to fight. Each day, the Night's King army gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Right.
Now, he said, listen, you know, you guys made me king of the North. I never wanted it. I never asked for it. I will never stop fighting for the North.
Yeah, I mean, he could have made the point like, listen, my brother Rob did make mistakes. He went down south. And when Ned was killed and Winterfell was taken, he should have returned north, but he got betrayed. I'm not doing that. I know what we're up against, and I need to go and meet with Daenerys. And it's a chance we have to take. He did the right thing. He talked himself out of it.
Sansa always thinks that Jon's got to play smarter, and here's Jon Snow throwing Sansa a bone.
Yeah.
And Jon's like, well, I'm leaving the north in good hands. And Sansa's like, well, who? Yours.
And then she shuts up. Then she's like, oh, okay, cool.
She's so happy now. She's so, that would be puke. I have that written down. Winterfell's synopsis, puke. Then the next scene is the crypt. I love this. This was awesome.
the look that Littlefinger gave her. And did she look at Littlefinger too?
I can't remember. I was too busy.
She looked at Littlefinger also. She glanced at him first. Her thing with John, she looked at Littlefinger, and Littlefinger was looking at her. Yeah, then we get the scene in the crypt. So what is Littlefinger's play here? What is he doing?
Really, I want to say something right away on this, sure. Please. I want to say something right away on this. When the pictures, trailers first came out, there was a lot of talk that this was going to be positive, where Littlefinger mentions RLJ, or R&L, to John. And I said, there is no. I said right away, I commented on these people, it's not going to happen. He's not going to mention R&L to John. He can't.
You're still confident that he knows the full story?
In the show, maybe, yes. The books, he knows that they weren't killed. He's the one who started. I'm telling you, I'm still convinced he's the one that started the rumors. I'm not sure.
Right, yeah, we did talk about that. Just a reminder, in case anybody hasn't heard it, in the books, he started the rumor that Rhaegar kidnapped Lyanna.
And right there.
Someone had to start it. This is not true. Ned didn't start it. Kingsguard didn't start it. Maybe Brandon assumed it, probably based only on what he heard. He's a lot like Sonny Corleone, Brandon Stark.
I knew right away that everyone was talking, Littlefinger was talking about, John's parentage. He's going to upset John. I said, no, he's not. I said, it's going to be something about Eddard, or it's going to be something about Rickon. It was actually something really about Rick, Eddard, and more like it was Sansa. John over the edge, I like Sansa.
What did he say about Kat? Did he say that, I missed it, did he say that Kat didn't believe in you, or Kat didn't like you, or something?
Kat was not fond of you.
Right, okay.
And John's like, you don't belong here. Whatever you say, you have nothing to say to me.
Look at John, though. In a way, even defending Stark's honor, even though she's the fucking worst. Because he's a good guy, And she's family. Even though she didn't like him, she's the worst. She's still a Stark to Jon Snow. So he's not going to let Littlefinger start shit.
Mm-hmm.
But then he says, I love Sansa. Jon Snow loses his temper.
Just said, I love your sister, Sansa. And then that's when Jon gets the chokehold. You touch my sister and I'll kill you myself.
Littlefinger wasn't down there to get permission to marry Sansa. That's not why he was there. He told Jon about Sansa, that he loves her, to get an angry reaction out of him. He did that on purpose. What do you think Littlefinger would be getting at? You think you just... He's sending John away with unease about leaving, worried about what will happen while he's gone with Littlefinger and Sansa. What kind of damage Littlefinger will do while he's gone?
I guess that, but it's not really talking. There's no possibilities that John thinks of. He just goes, the next scene is just him getting on the freaking horse and going to the White Harbor to go down to Dragonstone.
He gives that look to Sansa.
Yeah.
Littlefinger comes out holding his neck. But Littlefinger had to have expected that reaction. That has to be what Littlefinger longed for.
He was probably just trying to rile him up like how he's trying to rile up all the Starks.
Divide and conquer.
All right, I have a quick question for you. And I want you to answer it honestly as possible.
Shoot.
Where the hell is Ghost?
That's what I'm saying.
Where the hell is he? You mean to tell me you can't put $500 into CGI and just have Ghost there?
Dude, start a Kickstarter. I'll chip in to get Ghost back in the show. What the fuck?
I'm going to start a GoFundMe page.
Yeah, or at least have a line like... Oh, man, Ghost ran away. He'll be back. Don't worry. Or something. I don't know. Left Ghost at the wall. Let's, I'm going to send for Ghost. Or Ghost is in a kennel, sleeping. Something. Just acknowledge that he exists.
We have to go back. Actually, the next scene is actually the Wolfpack scene. I guess I got too excited.
Oh, no, it's quite all right. We discussed it. It's all good. Yeah, you're going to put Nymeria back in the show. We haven't seen Ghost since before the Battle of the Bastards, dude. It's too long. You need to acknowledge Ghost.
It's just really ridiculous.
And if you're not going to do it, at least, not that I want it to happen, but at least kill him in the Battle of Bastards.
The reason why they didn't, though, is that there's got to be a reason why. Well, they also didn't have the money for it, also, too, they said.
Yeah.
It was either that or no Giants in the battle. They wanted the Giants. Whatever. I don't know.
I'm not buying that they have budgetary issues this season. They have a budget. People aren't going to forget about them. Nobody's going to forget about them. Although, you know what, dude? I'm sure people have forgotten about them. But you and I aren't going to forget about them. Yeah, I was getting a little echo on my voice. They need to not acknowledge Ghost. They can't keep putting this off. Or at least tell us where he is. I mean, maybe John left him at the wall. I don't like that, but okay. It's better than nothing. Especially if you're going to go and make Nymeria important to this season. You got to include Ghost.
It's just really dumb. It really is absolutely dumb not to include him.
Hashtag, where the fuck is Ghost? Seriously, though, when was the last time we saw Ghost? It wasn't Battle of the Bastards.
The last time we saw Ghost was...
Was it episode 2 last season?
Episode 2 when John resurrected.
No fucking way. Really?
Yep.
Oh my god. That's insane. That's insane.
When he resurrected, after all that stuff after that, he wasn't around him when he resurrected. Like, he wasn't walking around with him. He wasn't there with Sansa. It's episode 2.
That's insane.
Hasn't even been mentioned.
That needed to be handled better. I trust that they'll do the right thing because they haven't really let me down yet. Quite a few times I thought that they were, and it turns out they haven't. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. They've earned it, Benioff and Weiss, but come on now. This is getting a little bit ridiculous. Now he's leaving for Dragonstone. He's not going to bring Ghost with him, right? Called the White Wolf, but he's not going to bring Ghost with him.
Where's my wolf?
He might be going into a trap. He's not going to bring Ghost with him. Like, come on, man. Use your head, Benioff and Weiss.
Yeah, like, you know, you guys are ring, well, you know, I have an animal too. You know, this is my animal.
Right. Gives you a better rep walking around with a giant dire wolf. That's why they feared Rob. That's why Rob got so much pull as king in the north. You know, he went to war with a wolf. Ugh. Anyway, after we get John looking at Sansa, Sansa watches John leave. Peter Baelish is looking at Sansa, and that's going to be his play. Is while John's gone, he's going to work on Sansa. I don't think he's going to be successful, but he is going to make a play. And we'll leave it at that. I know you know some spoilers. What scene do we get after Winterfell?
Well, it's the wolf pack thing we talked about.
Right, after right. That,
it's the we see the ship. We see Yara and Illyria Sand talking and seducing each other while Theon watches and leaves.
Poor Theon, dude.
And then we see the sand snakes talking about their mommy. Oh, my mommy. Which, by the way, they're all beautiful, though. They're all my cup of tea.
Yeah, but I wasn't sorry to see them get killed.
Oh, definitely. I'll definitely not. Again, Rowena's not having, you know, Barry's not being in the circle of things. He doesn't have the information. And lo and behold, there's a surprise attack. And I thought it was such an awesome scene.
Yeah.
When the prow of the ship, you know.
Oh, my God,
dude. It was like a drawbridge type thing.
Yeah,
crushing on that guy.
Right,
like, you know, they can go into the shot. That was so sick.
And Euron's just yelling like bloody mad. And he's got an axe, dude. He's got Victarion's axe. That's Victarion's axe. That's how Victarion goes to battle, with that axe.
Good pickup on that, by the way.
It's not just that, though. Like, there's ways that they can make Euron cooler without having to go full crow's eye. Mm-hmm. Don't give him the eye patch. Fine. That's fine. Like, I didn't like it last season, but like I said, you know, this season so far, I'm team Euron. And after tonight's scene, I'm even more so team Euron. And it's sick that he had Victarion's axe, but this dude has a full set of Valyrian steel armor. And maybe it's too much to give it to him, and you have to do too much backstory. But you already explained that he's been all over the known world. He's been to Ashai.
You see that in the show? They had armor on him also, too? Special armor in the show also?
They're not doing it in the show. It's just in the book. Okay. But I'm thinking they could add to his character if they have it. And I don't know that you'd have to explain a whole lot. So I don't see why they can't do it. But like I said, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, I'm just thinking of ways, no matter what he does on the show, he could be cooler. It's a question of, where's the line between Euron Greyjoy from Game of Thrones and the Crow's Eye from A Song of Ice and Fire? Where's that line? We're in uncharted territory here. We know what they haven't done. Maybe they do that. There's not a whole lot of episodes left, so I don't think so. But if he had a suit of Valyrian steel, like, nobody's fucking going to be able to hack at him and stab him. It might be too much, though. It may be too much. Maybe require too much explaining if he has that. Mm-hmm. But it was a really good fight scene, and it was tense because it didn't involve Jaime, it didn't involve Bronn or Jon Snow. So the people that you were rooting for, nobody was rooting for Euron. Nobody wanted Euron to win that battle. Even if you don't like the Sand Snakes and Ilaria Sand, you do feel for Theon and you do feel for Yara, and they are with Daenerys. So I would think most people didn't want Euron to win that battle, but it was just, you know, out of the blue.
Tattoo on one there by the sand snakes, by 2 or 3 sand snakes.
Oh, dude.
And kills them both in the same way that they would kill someone with, you know, one thing chokes one of them and then puts the spear up the other one's stomach.
Yeah. Euron Crow's Eye is not a huge fighter. When I say Crow's Eye, I mean the character from A Song of Ice and Fire. Even though I don't know why they don't call him that in Game of Thrones, Euron isn't a big fighter. He's a good strategist and he comes up with really good battle plans, especially at sea. But it seems as though they've combined him and Victarion, because Victarion is a fucking fighter, man. And you know he is. And it seemed like this scene took a lot from that Victarion chapter in, I believe it was Dance with Dragons, where he's fighting the heir to House Ceri of the Shield Islands. It's a battle on the boats, you know, on their ships. It had that vibe to it, at least. It was a brutal fight. You knew that Yara and Theon were fucked.
Yeah.
I don't know what they were launching at him. Those fireballs were just killing them. Where did they get their firepower from?
I don't know. They must have, you know, they take any of these war movies, medieval movies. They always have, like, the catapult things with the fire. They find ways to Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
What do you think about Theon there at the end jumping ship?
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about that. He went back into Reek mode, that's for sure. You saw him start to twitch.
Yeah.
And he was fighting pretty well. He was taking out a lot of guys.
Yeah. I think he just realized, oh, if I get captured, I'm just going to get tortured.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be captured again. He can't give up his freedom. He'd rather take a chance drowning than be a captive again. And Yara was definitely disappointed in him. Although I feel like Yara would want him to escape to go and get help or something. But I don't think she thought there was an escape. And I don't see how he gets out of the water. I mean, you know, most people would drown.
Yeah, plus he has like, you know, does have all his toes and...
Right, yeah, he's missing toes and fingers. I was surprised he was able to hold a sword so well. It showed Theon reverting back to Reek. You know, you realize all the mental abuse that Ramsay gave him, it's not something that will probably ever go away. But you got to think Theon will do something to make up for this, I would think.
Mm-hmm. This guy needs to sort of pay off, I would imagine.
Yeah. So Yara is caught. I imagine he's going to want to keep Yara. I imagine he's not going to deliver her to Cersei, but Ilaria Sand and the living Sand Snake. Unless she didn't die down there, did she?
No.
Ilaria Sand and the Sand Snake set alive. I imagine that's Euron's gift to Cersei.
Oh, definitely.
Cersei will very much appreciate that gift. Here's my theory. It's not a spoiler because I don't know, and it is kind of based on the Forsaken chapter. For those who haven't read the Forsaken chapter, at the end of that chapter, Euron has a bunch of religious men tied to the prows of the Iron Fleet. He's got a few warlocks. He's got a few septons. He's got his brother, Aaron Damfair, who is a priest of the Drowned God. Pretty much every religion is covered, and he's got a religious figurehead tied to the prow of one of the Ironborn ships. And he also has his own, I don't know if he took her to wife. He took a bastard girl from, I think it was House Ceri, and he got her pregnant. But then he took out her tongue and he tied her to the prow of a ship also, because he's a sick bastard. It seems like what he's going to do at the end of that chapter is he's about to perform the biggest blood sacrifice in Westerosi history. Some people say to call the deep ones up from the water, perhaps to try and make himself a god. We don't know to what end. So my thought was, people were saying that Euron's going to be worse than Ramsay Bolton. And, you know, what he did tonight, it was a step in that direction, but he's not nearly at Ramsay level, I don't think. Like I said, he's got to at least kill a Stark to get there. Mm-hmm. What if Euron kills Cersei? His younger brother, right? So it kind of fits the prophecy.
Yeah.
What if Euron marries Cersei?
It's possible. I think the way that's with Ed Sheeran's song last week, I think they're alluding to Jaime killing Cersei at this point.
I definitely can see that, but I also see what Jaime's doing, and...
But let me ask you a question. Him killing Cersei...
Tying her to the prow of the ship. So this would require that Euron is pretty much on the level that he's at in the books, and
not choking, then Cersei not dying by being a choke.
Maybe he chokes her on the prow, but her getting tied to the prow, her taking the place in the Forsaken chapter. And the only reason I thought of it was because...
But that's not going to make him a hated character. People might actually, a lot of people might like love him for that.
I don't know, man. Doing something like that. A lot of people like Cersei. I mean, they don't like her. They're not their favorite character, but...
I'd clap for him.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's a really...
I'd clap for him.
If he just strangled her, that'd be one thing. But like to do that, I feel like that'd be... I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe people would like it, but that's... It's just a thought I had.
Can I say something, please?
Sure, yeah, go right ahead, man.
If he does that, can I get a 2-for-1 special? Can Sansa also be on the prow of the ship?
You know what, dude? That would make him the most hated.
I would get a Euron Greyjoy tattoo if he did that. I would, yeah, that would be new favorite character right there.
We get the Crow's Eye Standard tattooed on our arms.
Be the greatest thing of all time. If he did that, you know, it'd be awesome.
Yeah, because you got to wonder how he plays into the end game. I mean, especially if he's...
He's got it. We've talked about it in a prior podcast. The fact that he's here.
Right.
The fact that they introduced him. When we thought all the Greyjoys wouldn't be introduced or another Greyjoys would be introduced at that point. The fact that they introduced him in season 6 and back now and he's got this bigger role to play. He's going to be this villain.
If he's going to bring Cersei these gifts, if he's going to bring her Ilias Sand, I would think that Cersei is going to be very impressed with that and pursue an alliance with him. I think she might even go so far as to marry him, and that will cause a divide between her and Jaime, of course. But Cersei, we know she goes mad with power. The thought of Daenerys taking the throne from her, she's going to make a deal with the devil. Now, you look at the three acts of A Song of Ice and Fire, three acts of Game of Thrones, and Joffrey is this horrible villain. And then for the second act, you have Ramsay Bolton, as this horrible villain who's even worse than Joffrey. But now he's dead. And in this final act, you have Euron Greyjoy as this villain. And yeah, the main conflict is with the others, the White Walkers, but Euron is going to play a part. He has to play a part. More so than Cersei or whoever else we think in Westeros that's evil, Littlefinger, Varys. More so than any of them, I would think Euron is going to play a part with the White Walkers somehow. Even if they tone down his A Song of Ice and Fire character, the direction it seems to be going in these books, he's included for a reason, and it's not just to be dragon fodder. I could be wrong. I definitely could be wrong with all this.
Well, he's definitely there for a reason. I'm not sure what means.
Right. But you look at his character, and it's been all over the world. He knows every single religion, captured people from every religion. He's a fucking bad dude, and he's planning something big that we don't even know about in A Song of Ice and Fire yet. So how is that going to be adapted? If they weren't going to do it, I don't think that they'd include Euron. Or maybe they'd include Victarion instead, or have Balon do the Euron part. But to include him, let's see, he was a big part last week, a big part this week. He'll be in it again next week. Yeah, we'll have a better idea when this season ends. If he's still around after this season, then I feel like Cersei may take that part in the Forsaken chapter. And it's not a spoiler, it's just something I was thinking. You know, how you make Euron worse than Ramsay, that's how you do it. Like I said, I could be wrong. All fair, you told me a score for this episode. Are you going to stick with that score?
I'm sticking with it.
Nice.
As of right now, as of tonight, Monday morning now. We're in Monday morning, 1 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a 9.
Oh, man. John, I don't know. I don't know if I can go that high.
I'm sure by Wednesday I'm going to knock it down.
Dragonstone, you gave that a... Did you give it a 6.6? No, you gave it a 7, right?
7, yeah.
Yeah, and I gave it a 7.5. So for initial scoring for Stormborn, you're going 9. And it was a lot of good stuff. I agree with you. And I really didn't have any problems with it, except for that one Arya thing, which isn't really a problem. But you know what, dude? I'm going to go lower than you because I think that the episodes are going to get better. So I'm going to go with an 8.5. Actually, you know what? I'll go 8.75 because it was really good. It was almost flawless. But I do want to think about it. And these scores are subject to change on a Thursday broadcast. A really good episode, dude. Things were moving real quick. Just that one scene, which was unnecessarily gratuitous, but I get what they were trying to do. And I think everybody was covered. Nobody was missing from this episode, right? Bran. Awesome. Fuck wants to see Bran. May think of some problems that I had, some logistic stuff, but I was trying to think while I watched it, and the only thing I could think of was Arya's choices to go to King's Landing instead of Winterfell. Obviously, she changed her mind. That music was awesome. Just the thought of her and Jon meeting, you know, I loved all these people that knew Jon from season one, hearing that he's king in the north, how far he's come, and being surprised at it. And then it kind of hits him that, you know what, he would make a good king, knowing Jon. We'll get into it more on Wednesday when we talk again, but kind of want to discuss Tyrion and Jon and the differences in their characters from when they knew each other to now. We'll have plenty of other stuff to go in depth with, but you got anything else with this episode, John?
Nothing much. I mean, considering we're going to do the Wednesday, I don't want to get too much. A couple other things I can say, but I'm going to hold off a little bit.
Okay. Stormborn, written by Brian Cogman, directed by Mark Mylod. Really, really good stuff. And I thought Dragonstone was fast-paced. This was like twice the speed. I was with it the whole time. I'm so looking forward to next week's episode, which is The Queen's Justice.
The Queen's Justice, yes.
That's definitely going to have to do with Cersei.
Also probably Dany again.
Yeah. The other thing, which we'll talk more about it for the next episode, but Daenerys had a huge military advantage at the beginning of this episode.
Right.
And now she does not.
We just saw it right now, how that army's going to get disbanded.
Last week, you had to give it to Daenerys. But this week, Cersei's looking pretty good, especially if she's got those southern lords. And now she takes away the Greyjoys and the Martells from Daenerys. A lot more comfortable than last week.
Things are looking up for a little bit.
I'm sure things will change next week, man. This is going to be like week 3 of the NFL. Guys, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. And we'll speak with you again on Thursday. Remember to click subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts from. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/ThePromisedPrinces. You can find us on WordPress, the princes that were promised at wordpress.com. Find us on Twitter at Princes Promised. You can find us on Tumblr. Well, that's about it. That's everywhere where you can find us. Please leave a review. It's the best way for us to find new listeners and for new listeners to find us. John, always a pleasure. I'll speak with you on Wednesday. We'll talk to you guys later this week.
At your badge.